Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. Today we are talking about bought at a price. Bought at a price. Have you bought anything recently? Groceries? Delicacies, desserts? Spring clothes? Switching from winter to spring now? Bought at a price. How much you think would be a fair price for you? 30 pieces of silver? Maybe gold? How much are you worth?
My weight in gold.
Who said that? Martha? Or Mary? Who said it? Mary? My weight in gold. I don't know. I'll talk with Mac after. Mac might have enough money. I'll check with Mac and see if he has that much gold stored, stashed somewhere. I don't know. But how much are you worth? How much should you be paid for? That's the question today. And while you're thinking about this, can I have two volunteer readers real quickly? Just stick up your hand. I'll tell you where we're going to read. All right. So we have Gary and we have Ginger. All right. Thank you, Susan. These two beat you to it. All right, Gary, if you read for me Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And Ginger, if you find Micah chapter 7, 18, 19, 20. So we'll take Revelation first. Amen. And I like the use of the definite article there. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now, how does it say the children of God overcome the accuser? How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Very good. 2 points. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, what might the word of their testimony be? What might it be? What is your struggle today? And whatever your struggle is, the Bible tells you that you can overcome that struggle by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. In other words, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he's died for every one of us in this place. He's died for every person in this world. And by the blood of the Lamb, we are made overcomers. It also says, though, that also by the word of their testimony, by the word of your testimony. In other words, you must have that faith by Jesus Christ. You must have that faith in Jesus Christ. And when you exercise your faith in Christ and his sacrifice, you are bought at a price. And you get the power to overcome. Now, sin brings forth death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, does God hold grudges against us? No. All right, let's see what Micah says. Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, 20. Micah chapter 7. How long does God retain his anger? He just read it. How long does God retain? Actually, I ask you in the positive. It gives it in the negative. It says he does not retain his anger forever. He does not. But what does he do instead? It uses the word delight. God delights in what? Mercy. He delights in mercy. He does not retain his anger forever. In other words, God is angry at sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God is doing everything that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might be purified. He does not retain his anger forever. By the way, I know we have at least one ex-military person here. Are there any others who have served in the military before? Oh, there are more hands going up. One, two. Yeah, three. So we have at least four here. Now, you will know, I don't know if any of you are in the Navy. All right, we got a Navy guy here. What's the deepest part of the sea? Where is it? Yeah, you got it. That's the Mariana Trench. How deep is it? The deepest part of the Mariana Trench. Huh? You got it, Jim. I heard it. I know it was coming. We're Seventh-day Adventists. We're like sevens. So it's 7 miles deep. It's 7 miles deep in the Mariana Trench. No, do you think any person here can swim down 7 miles? I mean, even with an oxygen tank, you have enough oxygen. Do you think you can make it down 7 miles? You'll be blown to pieces by the pressure of that water. And yet you have fish and other creatures live down there. But you cannot go there. And my point is, God says he will cast your sins where? Go back to Micah chapter 7. Where did he say he will cast our sins? Into the depths of the sea. So God's going to throw our sins into the Mariana Trench. And he's going to put a sign there that says no fishing. Amen. So when our sins are forgiven with Christ, they are buried. They are buried. But you know what? Some of us practice spiritualism and we like to raise the dead. So we go back fishing around for our sins. When we come clean with Christ, keep going forward. Don't go back. Amen? Yes, when Christ dumps our sin, do not take them back up. And by the way, we started out by realizing that we overcome sin, we overcome Satan, we overcome in our temptations through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You have been bought at a price. And it's way more than your weight in gold. You have been bought at a price. Now, I have a little question for you. What is the world's fastest train? The bullet train? Who else want to take a try? All right, Gary, thank you for being brave. The bullet train and bullets, they're real fast. How fast does it travel? You don't remember? All right. In what country is it? The world's fastest train is not the most important thing we're going to talk about today. Right? But it is a fun fact. Now, is it the leopard train that is the fastest? Gary says the bullet train. I'm raising the question. Is it the leopard train? Is this the fastest train? Actually, the leopard train is not a real train. It was conjured up in the mind of someone skilled at Photoshop. But is the world's fastest train made in India, America, Europe, Japan, or China? What is your guess? Huh? Japan. And I think you got that one down, Gary. The Japanese maglev train is the fastest train in the world. It has a land record speed of 375 miles per hour, accomplished on April 21st, 2015. Next Sabbath will be 3 years since it accomplished this feat. Wow. And this train will run at a maximum operational speed of 314 miles per hour. So we are in Elmira and we want to go to New York City and we could be there in under an hour on this train. That's it right there. The Japanese maglev. And by the way, maglev is the combination of two words. Magnet and levitation. Because when that thing is moving, it's not actually riding on the line. It's riding on nothing. It's riding on that magnetic field. And it's a pretty smooth ride too. So the Japanese maglev is the fastest train on earth. It accomplished the feat, that speed feat of 375 miles per hour on April 21, 2015. Wouldn't you like to the smooth ride on the world's fastest train? Now, there is a much faster super train that I have read about. It is unbelievably luxurious and super fast, yet so smooth that passengers do not notice its speed. Its conductor and engineers were very unique. The Japanese maglev debut in 2015 and the author of the super train vision died 100 years later, or 100 years earlier in 1915. This is what she said about this train. A train of car was shown to me, going with the speed of lightning. The angel bade me look carefully. I fixed my eyes upon the train. It seemed that the whole world was on board, that there could be no one left. Said the angel, "They are binding in bundles ready to burn." Then he showed me the conductor, who appeared like a stately, fair person, whom all the passengers looked up to and reverenced. I was perplexed and asked my attending angel who it was. The angel said, "It is Satan. He is the conductor in the form of an angel of light. He has taken the world captive. They are given over to strong delusions to believe a lie that they may be damned." This agent, the next highest in order to him, is the engineer, and other of his agents are employed in different offices as he has need of them. And they are all going once again with lightning speed to perdition. How fast was the super train moving? How fast? Yes, it says lightning speed. Who were the passengers? It seemed that the whole world was on board. Who were the conductor and engineers? Satan and other of his agents. Now, where were the passengers on this train headed? It says they are all going with lightning speed to perdition. They are in a mad rush to hell. You may not be able to stop that train, but you must get off. Amen? For you were bought at a price. Bought at a price. Now, before I go any further, I always want to remind you this, that God loves you. Amen? You want to get that in the core of your brain. God loves you. Like you have already seen, you do not have to be too smart to go to hell. Amen? You don't have to be. As a matter of fact, if you just follow your own instinct and gut feeling, if you just trust your own judgment, you are a perfect candidate for hell. But no one will just drift into heaven. I want to make that point clear today. No one will just drift into heaven. Heaven is a place for the daring. Amen? Heaven is a place for holy boldness. Heaven is a place for the courageous. No coward will make it there. And by the way, Revelation 21 and verse 9 tells of that. No coward will make it into heaven. You were bought at a price for heaven. Amen? Amen. You have been bought from every kind of addiction that is in this world. You were bought from your affinity to sin. You were bought from animism, fascism, Nazism, Catholicism, racism, communism, capitalism, and every kind of schism there is in this world. You have been blood bought. Human isms are failures. Communism, for example, is forced exploitation. On the other hand, capitalism is opportunistic exploitation. They are selfish at their core and humanistic at their best. But our greatest need is for the biblical God. Amen? Amen. We need a God of creation. 1 John chapter 2 tells us this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Why? He says if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen? Amen. Then verse 17 says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides, how long? Forever. Amen. We are called to love God and to love his will. If we are going to overcome our sinful addictions, whether they are sexual addictions, legal or illegal drug addictions, food addictions, we must turn to God. Amen? We have been bought at a price. 1 John 5 and verse 5 tells us, who is he who overcomes the world? But that's the same as except. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. These questions answer themselves. They are rhetorical. The biblical answers are powerful. Now, how does a person overcome addiction to sin? He or she must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He alone forgives confessed sins. Amen? God can only forgive the sins we confess. And Jesus is our Savior. So if you want your sins to be taken away, you got to confess them to Jesus. Christ cannot bear the cross alone, and the world goes free. We have a cross to bear. Practice pisteo. And I just threw that Greek word in there for you. It is the verb from which we get faith and believe. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God must be a continuous action. Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, we must overcome. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If we want to go to heaven, we must overcome through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen? Amen. We must overcome. Overcomers are the ones that will be admitted into God's heaven. And a question I can ask you, when is the time that we have to overcome? When is the time? Now is the only time we ever have. Yesterday is in the tomb. And I don't suspect any of us in here have resurrection power. Yesterday is in the tomb. And tomorrow is in the womb. Tomorrow is not yet born. All we have to live is today. Now is the time to overcome. And in the end, the overcomers will be able to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We cannot be taken into heaven unless, as long as we continue to choose to live in sin. We are called to overcome. And the first step to overcome is to activate your faith. This faith is a continuous belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, for whatever, and you can say whoever, is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? Amen? We need to have that faith. After you put your faith to work, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Ask God to give you the born-again experience and earnestly, fervently pray for the victory. And my counsel is, do it as often as you eat. What a difference it will make in our lives if as often as we eat, we ask God for power to live for him. You think it will make a difference? Then try it. Do it As often as you awake from your sleep. As often as you awake from your sleep, ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I personally, earnestly, and fervently pray and continue to ask God to be joined to him. And I'm encouraging you to ask God to lead your life. Ask him to make your spirit in harmony with his. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. And then take evasive action from sin. Amen? Flee sin. Verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. And I believe that we have come to live in the most immoral age of human existence. The Bible talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, Bel and Adma and Zoar, three other cities that were destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days when the Son of Man is about to come. And Christ is about to come, and we are seeing this cornerstone of Protestantism. The United States of America is growing more immoral by the day. Immorality is rampant. It's taking over the land. And friends, it's time God's church stand up. And we need to stand on the principles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says to flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. We are living in an age when two grown muscular men can get married. I don't understand it. Two women can get married. It's Sodom. We're living in a terrible age, and God is calling us to stand up for him. He says, flee sexual immorality. You can hardly see anything on TV today without some hint. Well, it's not even a hint anymore. Without sexual immorality glaring you in the face. What an age in which we've come to live. But my scripture tells me, flee sexual immorality. Flee. There's power in Jesus Christ. We read, Gary, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. Amen. Then verse 19 raises another rhetorical question. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Well, this now age of education is telling everybody your body is yours and experiment with it as you please. But not so. As Christians, we know that by creation we belong to God, and by redemption we belong to God. Amen. And therefore, our bodies are to be treated as temples in which the Holy Spirit lives. So we ought to be careful then what we put in and what we put on to our bodies. Amen? Our bodies belong to Christ. You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, in your physical being, and in your mind. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. They are God's property. Oh, we should give the best of our thoughts to Jesus. Amen. The first thing I do when I get up is to think about Jesus and what he's done for me. And then I ask him to consecrate me for this day. And then I begin by praying for my wife. And then I pray for my children. And my mom lives in my home. I pray for her. And then I expand the circle outward. But the first responsibility is for me to be consecrated to God on this day. And I do it every day. Because I want to grow in Christ every day. I don't want to become stagnant. I know I live in the Laodicean age of the church, but I don't want to be Laodicean. I want to be on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I pray for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, young adults and children, only those filled with the Spirit of God can live in the presence of God. In heaven for 1,000 years, and in the earth made new for all eternity. So you got to make up your mind. Are you going to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with all you've got? All your energy, all your thoughts. Yes, my friends. You know, if Christ should come right now while we are in church, what would be the uppermost thought in your mind right this moment? Is it social media? Is it trying to catch up with what the next big thing is? If Jesus was to come right now, would you be able to go home to live with God? Would you be ready? Would your Sabbath keeping right now mean anything to Jesus? Is a part of your Sabbath keeping treasuring a relationship with Jesus Christ? What would it mean for you if Jesus should come right this moment? Do you have the blessed assurance that you'll be going home to live with God? I mean, some of us can have false assurance where we just live as we please and still claim that we're going to heaven. It doesn't work that way. We can only make it to heaven on God's terms. Amen? Not our terms. And God's terms are clearly expressed in His Holy Bible. Holiness unto the Lord. We have to live holy. Our whole being, body, our spirit, that's our thinking, our mind, must be consecrated to God and in surrender to Him. Heaven is for real. And Jesus paid an infinite price to redeem us from sin. And so we ought to take Jesus seriously. Amen? We ought to take Him seriously. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I will not rest satisfied with my past victories. Yesterday's victories are not sufficient for today's trials. So I will not rest satisfied. I need new and continuous victories. Amen? So I regularly ask God to keep me in His love and to keep me joined to Him. So I plead for the baptism, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and for the power to evade sin. Now, we started out talking about trains. Do we remember how many people were on Satan's train and how fast they were going? Almost the whole world, there seemed to be none left. And it was moving with lightning speed, and their destination was perdition, another term for hell. Hell bent and hell bound. Well, this vision greatly alarmed the author who wrote down that vision for us. I asked the angel if there were none left. There seemed to be everyone on board Satan's train. I asked the angel if there were none left. He bade me look in an opposite direction. Amen. Opposite direction. From the direction this train was heading. This train was heading in a mad rush to hell. The angel said, look in the opposite direction. Look away from that train. Look in the opposite direction. And I saw a little company. Amen. God always have even a little witness. Amen. I saw a little company traveling a narrow pathway. Didn't Jesus say, broad is the way which leads to destruction? And many there be which go in thereat. But then he says straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, which means strict. Straight and narrow is the path that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. Here's the same path being described. It says, and I saw a little company traveling a narrow pathway. All seem to be firmly united. How are they united? They were bound together by the truth in bundles or companies. There is a movement today to unite the churches, but they are not doing it on the platform of the truth. They are wanting to unite. Hey, forget your differences and just let's be one. It's called ecumenism. I am not a part of that and will not be a part of that. I will unite with all those who want to unite on the firm platform of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's unite on the word of God. Not man's suppositions and propositions, but the thus saith the Lord, that which the Lord has declared. Amen? I am ready to unite with anyone who is ready to unite with the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
It says, all seem to be firmly united, bound together by the truth, in bundles or companies, said the angel. Here's the secret. The third angel is binding or sealing them in bundles for the heavenly garden, the heavenly harvest. See how important the third angel's message is? It's a sealing message. Amen? As a matter of fact, Revelation 14 starts out by telling about the 144,000 who were sealed in their foreheads. And the third angel's message, who knows what the third angel's message is? Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through to 12. The third message says, and a third angel followed them with a loud voice, saying, if any man worships the beast and his image, or receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. It talks about how the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. They have no rest day or night who worships the beast and his image. Then verse 14 tells us, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. None can be sealed without keeping the commandments of God. And the Sabbath is one of those commandments. But the question is, do you really keep the Sabbath holy? Or you just come to church for a couple of hours or from Sabbath school till fellowship meal time and then the rest of the Sabbath you go to whatever? It's 24 hours. And the Sabbath is a great part, is the external mark of the sealing of God. It says here, the third angel is binding or sealing them in bundles for the heavenly garden. This little company look careworn. They're a little bit tired. It's been a rough journey. They looked careworn, as if they had passed through severe trials and conflicts. And it appeared as if the sun had just risen from behind a cloud and shone upon their countenances, causing them to look triumphant, as if their victories were nearly won. This is what living faith in Jesus looks like. So it is okay to ride the Japanese maglev train, whether at the record land speed of 375 miles per hour or the maximum operational speed of 314 miles per hour. But you must get off the hellbound train. You should get off because you were bought at a price. Amen? The biblical device used here is called a divine passive. You were bought. Who bought you? God did. It's the divine passive. God bought you at a price. He paid the full price to redeem you. And we saw what the full price looked like at Calvary. And then we are told in Education, page 57, the greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That's what God is calling on you today. We have been bought at a price. So never, never compromise or trade your treasure for this world's goods. We have been blood bought. We have been cleansed. We have been washed and made whole. So don't continue in sin. James says it this way. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, then goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Amen? Doers of the word, we have been bought at a price. You have been bought at a price. The price is Christ's own blood. You have been cleansed and made right. So do not be like the people in the time of Noah's flood. But instead, make Christ your only choice and account yourself a part of the blessed assurance. Amen? Amen. Christ wants you to be certain about your faith. Well, today, as you are committed to the Christ of Scriptures, as you are committed to the great God of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I want you to take full assurance in Christ that the price has been paid in full. You have been redeemed. You have been blood bought. And I'm encouraging you today to walk away from this place with this blessed assurance. Now, if that is your desire, don't just stand because everyone else does. If it is your desire to affirm your faith in Christ today and have the blessed assurance, I invite you to stand with me and we'll sing hymn number 462, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray together. Father and our God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your holy Bible. That we can take time and you blessed us with the opportunity to be able to read and we can read for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you have bought us at a price. And you paid dearly for us. As a matter of fact, you experienced a second death in our place. Thank you so much for doing that for us, Lord. And we did not deserve it. Well, Lord, today we want to walk away from this place with a blessed assurance that we have your salvation. We want to walk away today, Jesus, knowing that we have been forgiven because we have asked forgiveness. And you say you delight in mercy and you will cast our sins into the depth of the sea. We pray, Lord, for you to transform our character and make us more like you. Every day that we find ourselves alive, Jesus, may we seek one thing most foremost and most uppermost in our minds, and that is to be like you. Help us to be like you at home, to be like you at work, to be like you at school, to be like you at play. Wherever we find ourselves, Jesus, help us to be like you. And help us to always remember that we have been bought at a price, and therefore we'll glorify God in our body and in our minds, which belong to God. Have thine own sweet way in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.